This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Politicians, policy, and what's happening in Parliament. It's our politics professional on Joy Drive.
Noah Seckham is our federal politics reporter with the Community Radio Network. Good afternoon, Noah.
Good afternoon, Warren.
Firstly, I want to ask you, what was it like on Saturday night being there amongst all the pollies on an election night as a reporter?
Yeah, it was certainly not the way you usually spend a Saturday night in the middle of Labor headquarters in Western Sydney, which was really, it was just, I rocked up a little later because I was at one of the other candidates' celebration nights, I guess, up in Bradfield at the start. But once the election was called at 8:30, I was on the wrong side of the city. So I had to very frantically leave and go get an Uber across town. And once I was there, I mean, it was just everyone was relieved and just so very loud and happy, which apparently wasn't the case when voting closed. They're a little hesitant, but certainly not when I got there.
What are you hearing from, I suppose, inside the Liberal Party? What kind of conversations do you think are happening behind closed doors at the moment?
Well, there's certainly a big rethink about the approach of the campaign and where the party stands in, 2025, considering that, governments entering their second term virtually never increase their majority. And also, an opposition leader has never lost their seat before at an election. So two very historic things have happened broadly. So now there's this discussion of, okay, what went so wrong? Was that entirely the fault of Peter Dutton as the leader? And now that he's gone, the real immediate thing to deal with is who's going to take the leadership of the Liberal Party, which we won't necessarily know immediately because they've got to wait for all the seats to be decided before they can really vote on that. But there are a few options.
Who are the contenders, do you think, or what are you hearing?
Well, there are four obvious contenders that have come forwards, considering that they have held ministries before and they've been in the public eye to some degree recently. So we've got Shadow Treasurer Angus Taylor, who holds a seat just out of Sydney. We've got Deputy Susan Lee, who is in regional New South Wales. We've got Dan Tehan, who is the immigration spokesperson. He's out West Victoria. And the last one is in Perth, or south of Perth, Andrew Hastie, who was the Shadow Defence Minister. But, I mean, who is going to win? It depends. Today we've heard a bunch of Liberal MPs and senators saying that they actually don't trust Angus Taylor because they blame him for not having enough policies from the economic side of things to actually take to the election to campaign on. So a few have voiced that they will not support Angus Taylor in a bid for the leadership. Susan Lee has been kind of pushed around a bit, but there's every chance that she could get in. However, she wasn't really much of a feature in the election campaign. So for better or worse, she wasn't in the public eye as much. Dan Tehan was up against an independent, but, I mean, he managed to increase his margin against him, so that could be seen as a positive. And Andrew Hastie is unlikely to put his name up because he's relatively inexperienced and he's only been in defence or home affairs portfolios, which is quite narrow for someone to be a leader of a party.
Angus Taylor was quite prominent in the media during the campaign leading up to the election. Do you think that, or what does what's the chatter saying in terms of who is responsible for the Liberal result? Is it Peter Dutton, or is there a fair chunk of it that Angus Taylor is responsible for as well?
Look, that is a very fair question, and I don't think we'll ever really get a full answer, because you could just, for the whole result, it's really a question of, did the Labor Party actually win it, or did the coalition just lose it? Yes. It's a bit like tennis in that way, who wins the point, who actually loses it. So there's a lot of push and pull in things. What was the influence of Donald Trump? Did that pull push, whatever that did? The trumpet of patriots, the One Nation vote has gone up. What does that mean? Was it the policies? Was it nuclear? Was it, there's so many different things that you can pin the blame on. But of course, internally, the Liberal Party is suggesting that they were ill-prepared, they were overconfident, and a lot of the ministers or shadow ministers and MPs on the outer weren't able to keep up with what was happening. I remember speaking to you while I was in Victoria saying that a lot of the coalition, I mean, I thought it was just me. They didn't seem to be doing many press conferences or I was missing alerts, but just generally, they weren't doing as many media opportunities. It was a very controlled and I've heard presidential style election campaign where it was Dutton and really that was it. So perhaps that was the issue. Perhaps it was the youth vote. Perhaps it was, you know, the immigration debate didn't do any favours for anyone. Perhaps the independents haven't delivered. Like, there's so many different things that have pushed and pulled for an insane result, really.
My phone's a lot quieter, I must admit. No SMSs from the trumpets of Patriots, oh. Which is good. I'm pleased not to receive them. We're chatting with Noah Seckham, federal politics reporter with the Community Radio Network. Noah, are there any key seats around the country that are in doubt still?
Well, surprisingly, we're still over a dozen that are up for grabs. It's an interesting mix. The Greens had a very, very nail-biting weekend, and I imagine they're still doing it. They're probably down to stumps by now, because Melbourne, the seat held by Greens leader Adam Bandt, is still actually not certain where that's going to land. At the moment, according to the ABC's latest count, Adam Bandt is actually down 2%, so he could lose that seat. But that's only 63% counted, so bear with. Although elsewhere in the state, I mean, it's a lot of these independent competitions in Kooyong and Goldstein, which are still up for debate. Goldstein currently has 90 votes as the margin.
Oh, wow.
In favour of Zoe Daniel, and that has shifted back and forwards as soon as polls closed. So that's quite an interesting competition. Say a similar deal with Kooyong, but the margin's a bit wider, but it's looking a lot more certain for Monique Ryan at the moment, especially after Amelia Hamer's controversies during the campaign there. And the Greens are still trying their best to get Wills, but it's looking less likely that they will take that off Labor. And in McNamara, it was a complete write-off for that. Elsewhere, there's an independent running in Bradfield, like I mentioned before, in Sydney. She's it's a similar deal. She's currently ahead by 500 votes. So it's very dicey. And for the first time ever, Canberra, one of our electorates, was interesting. The south seat of Bean is being thrown into a challenge by an independent as well. And she is currently ahead by 206 votes. Now, this one has swung back and forwards a lot. And it was one of the first seats to put out results on election night, which was fun for me to be like, hey, I know that one. but anyone else probably didn't really notice. But it's going to be a tight competition on that front and for the other independent trying in Perth, in Fremantle. So very, very, very interesting.
We had a record number of pre-polling votes. How long do they take to count the pre-polling votes?
That one's a piece of string. It's very much also based on whether or not they need to count as many of the votes. When you look at seats like Sydney, held by Tanya Plibersek, it's like the safest Labor seat in the country. So by the time they get to halfway through the vote, they know for certain that she's absolutely got it. So sure, the pre-polls will come in, but it doesn't matter as much. For these independent competitions that we just talked about, where it's coming down to the wire, it's going to be a slower process because they are relying entirely on these pre-poll, these postal and absentee votes. So I think it'll still be quite a few days before this happens, probably over a week. But again, it's numbers and it's manual labour having to go through each ticket. So it really, it's up. It's just going to take as long as it's going to take.
When's Parliament regroup?
Oh, geez, you're really whipping out the good questions today. Oh, I wish I had answers. In terms of when Parliament returns, it's a matter of process again. Okay. So we've got to wait for all the seats to be counted. Because also, you've got to bear in mind, especially the Liberal Party, who will have to do their own internal votes for who gets the leadership, they're going to want to know who they're actually going to have to vote. So they're going to want the whole group together. Then they'll consider doing the official process. So even in terms of the cabinet positions for Labor, they're going to wait till all the results are in. They'll sort that out. And I believe there's a time frame of about 3-4 weeks after the election where, you know, the writs have to be finalized and off we go, next Parliament kicks off. So it'll probably be closer to June that we get back into the full swing of things.
Noah, love chatting with you. We might chat with you later in the week to find out how things are progressing.
Indeed you will.
But before we do, you've got to pick a song. What have you picked today? And tell us why.
I feel like everyone that listens to Joy is very switched on and smart, so I believe you'll figure this one out yourselves.
Okay.
This song's called When Will I See You Again by The 3 Degree. Oh.
Thank you,
this
Noah.
This one's for you, Peter.
Noah Second, Federal Politics Reporter with the Community Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.